If your hope is in this world, prepare to be disappointed.
My hope is not in this world. And unlike some people who believe that the church should prepare this world for the coming of Jesus, I say we cannot prepare this world. We are going to be taken out of this world because God needs to first judge this world, and then Jesus will come back to rule in this world with us after that judgment of the tribulation.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Israeli Bible teacher Amir Sarfati. In spite of wars and rumors of wars, there's good news out there. God has prepared a glorious future for those who serve our soon coming King. Here is today's programming.
When I look at how Prime Minister Netanyahu is stepping down, when I saw the 45th president stepping down, when I see other very good world leaders being attacked, and when I see how nationalism is being ridiculed and liberalism and globalism is being edified, and when I see that it seems like all the forces of evil are having their upper hand, it always, always reminds me something very, very important. We all have to remember that. You know, it's really nice to want the world to be better, but we have to remind ourselves, this world is going to get worse and worse and worse. And as far as we're concerned, it might sadden us, but at the same time, not surprise us. This is why when I started in my prayer, I said, God revealed all of these things in his word. And thankfully, my citizenship is not here.
And welcome to the program. So glad you can join me this week. We are carrying a new book by a popular author and friend of this ministry, Amir Sarfati, and it's entitled Israel and the Church, and Israeli examines God's unfolding plans for his chosen peoples. Yes, God has two favored people, Israel and the Church, but many take that as far as to say that the Church has replaced Israel, and that's known as replacement theology or supersessionism. In fact, God has two distinct plans for these two groups of people. Please remember, if God could forsake his people Israel, folks, he could forsake his covenant with you and me, the Christian, as well. So he's a covenant maker and he's a covenant keeping God. But we're going to talk about a number of topics in this hour. I'm going to play a couple of pretty stunning sound bites of some fairly popular teachers who love to curse the Jews, and they call themselves evangelical Christians. Is this even possible? Amir Sarfati is the founder of the ministry known as Behold Israel. He's been an officer in the IDF, an author, an international speaker, and an Israeli tour guide. He's spoken at five of my Understanding the Times conferences and was scheduled, of course, for 2020, which we had to cancel. Thanks to COVID, and 2021 coming up this fall on the West Coast. We'll say more about that in a moment. Amir, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. It's always my pleasure.
Amir, you write, Israel and the church are the only two groups of people whom God calls his witnesses. And we both were called to be the Lord's trumpets, you say. The church was called to serve as witnesses to the ends of the earth. It is through Israel that we see that God is faithful, all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. I love it when you write, Amir, you say there was a time for the Jews, there currently is a time for the Gentiles, and at the second coming, there will be a time for both Jews and Gentiles together. Comment on that, will you?
It's important that we understand that God has an order in which he's advancing his plan of salvation. First, he needed to introduce himself as the only God, his word as the only authority, and his son as the only way to reach him if you're a sinner. And obviously, we're all sinners. And that he achieved through Israel. Israel was God's chosen people for a reason, not just because he loves them, they look better, they look nicer, they're wiser. No, not at all. If anything, God continues to tell the Israelites or the Old Testament how much it is not because of who they were, but it's because of who he is. And God used Israel for all those reasons I just said. And then came, of course, the moment when the Messiah came to the world. And we know that Messiah himself, Jesus, Yeshua, said, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He even told the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews.
Right.
He didn't hide it. But at the same time, he brought an end to religion. He brought an end to the attempt to reach God in so many earthly ways. And even Paul, in the middle of Athens, said, those times that the Gentiles did whatever they did, God ignored that. That's it. Enough is enough. Now is the time for all people to repent. That's the moment. The church was born, of course.
Yes.
Mostly consisted of Jews in the beginning.
That's right.
And then, of course, we know that the gospel flourished mostly in non-Jewish areas later on. And the church was born. And the church is not the Church of Rome. The church is not the Orthodox Church in Greece or
That's
in
right.
Russia. When we say the church, we mean the group of born-again, spirit-filled believers of that time. And it has always been that way. Even today, the church is not a religious establishment. God is now using the church for the last 2,000 years to spread the word and teach his word and to lead people to him.
I think one of the points you're making, and it should be obvious to every listener, but not every listener is in tune as much as you and I are with the issues we're talking about this hour, but you write about a time for the Gentiles. The church age is the time of the Gentiles. That time is going to run out. You and I very well could be the generation that sees the time of the Gentiles run out. And when that happens, that's going to be interrupted by the rapture of the church. That then begins the times of the Jews or the tribulation, a terrible time for the Jewish people with, again, persecution almost unimaginable in spite of the Holocaust, which that was unimaginable.
I believe that we are at the very end. We are not in the last days, we're in the last hour. That's how I named my first book,
That's
The Last
right.
Hour.
Wonderful book.
I truly believe that everything around us, the return of Israel back to their land, the return of Jerusalem back to their hand, the prosperity of Israel in the last 10, 12 years is an amazing thing. Everything that is happening worldwide with how we see technology advancing, knowledge is increasing,
yes.
How we see the world canceling the biblical family and come up with new things, the gender issue, climate change, all of these things that we see all around us are beyond the sign. This is a trumpet that is blowing so loud, telling us, get ready.
Get ready.
And that's why, Jan, I do believe with all of my heart, and that's the fuel that I have in my engine.
Yes.
That this is it. We must get the church ready. We must get the attention of every Christian to think that, hey, let's take our time, kick back, relax.
Yes.
No, it's over.
Time is running
yes.
out. That's a
Those
huge
days
theme.
Are over.
Yes. I'm going down just a little different road here, and I'm coming back to what we started opening the program with, because while it's fresh on my mind, tell my audience, how is the new U.S. administration, number one, affecting Israel? And number two of my question is, what do Israelis think of our new president and vice president? But first, we've just come through the month of May, a terrible time of turmoil for Israel, and hopefully we'll spend a few minutes on that terrible war with Hamas and Islamic Jihad was threatening to get involved. Tell me what you think of our new administration and tell me what the Israelis think of it.
I'm going to tell you that for most Israelis, it is obvious that we're watching Obama 2.0. We're watching a new version of the old system that is rewarding the terrorist and is punishing your allies. And we've seen that all along. Now, it was way before January 20th, that the Democrats already indicated to Iran to wait patiently until President Trump is gone so they will run and resume the talks and have another deal. Israel could see it. So the Israelis are not excited about what we see. But remember, Iran's cards are different right now.
Okay.
Because in the meantime, since 2015, when the original one was signed, and now 2021, We already exposed the true Iranian cards. We already exposed the Iranian nuclear archive. We already exposed new nuclear sites for military purpose. The Europeans, the Americans, they all now understand that Iran is way more than just a nuclear thing. There's the ballistic missiles. There is the proxies that they keep feeding and creating this monster all around us. They are the number one destabilizer of the Middle East. America right now is so busy in destroying itself that it didn't even appoint an ambassador to Israel for the last 4 months.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because going into its fifth month of the new administration, correct, no ambassador. Folks, let that sink in a minute. Do you think this current administration gives one whit about the Jewish state other than assisting in her enemies to obliterate her? Go ahead, Amir. And why do you think that's the case? No ambassador to Israel.
This is just a reflection of the apathy that the new administration has towards the entire Middle East, pushing to pull all the soldiers out of the Middle East. Listen to me. The deal they're going to sign with Iran, not with anyone else, is making Iran the big brother of the Muslim world. It's like Iran will take care of things for us because America is coming out. And Iran will be in Syria, Iran will be in Iraq, Iran will be in Yemen, Iran is in Lebanon. So in a way, terrorism is being rewarded. And the Iranians, they don't waste time. They are so focused on their jihadist agenda.
Yes.
That's why the Middle East is going through all of this turmoil right now.
What are Israelis thinking? Now, you've been through this war in Gaza with Hamas, and the jihadists are very active, and you just came out with a little update, and I think you titled it The Last Jihad, and I want to go there in a minute. But tell me, what are Israelis thinking? I mean, are they as concerned as Americans are concerned? American evangelicals are concerned for Israel?
I will say this. After having 8 years of Obama,
yes,
we are already used to this type of foreign affairs of America. But the difference this time is this administration is so slow to react to everything that at least we are glad they were slow to react to the Gaza conflict.
Okay.
You know, if it was 8, 9 years ago, the Secretary of State would call us and the President would call us in the second day and tell us to stop.
That's right.
It took Biden 10 days to start making sounds of it better come to an end. By the end of the 11th day, it was over. Israel needed that time to hurt the terror infrastructures badly, and we did it. So in a way, I'm thankful that there's a senile in the Oval Office, because if it took him 10 days to realize where he's at, this time at least played well for us.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Tiberias area in Israel the familiar voice of Amir Sarfati. Learn much more at his website, beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org. Come on out and meet Amir this fall. Jack Hibbs is hosting a new conference, Behold He Comes, Prophecy Conference. Amir will be there. I'll be there. Jack Barry Stagner will be speaking on Saturday, September the 11th. It will be live streamed. I want to play a quick clip. It is of a mirror, and I want to come back and make a comment about it.
And then Christ paused, and he said, learn this parable from the fig tree. Mm-hmm. When its leaves are green, then you know that summer is near. And that was a parable. I mean, he's not talking about a fig tree. And you know, the prophets Hosea and other minor prophets, they all say that Israel is God's fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus spoke about the restoration of Israel as the greatest sign of the end times. And here I am, a grandson of Holocaust survivors. My grandparents grew up in Poland, not even thinking in their dreams about moving to Israel. They had the good life in Europe.
Yeah.
Jewish people up until today think that they have the good life elsewhere. And I can tell you one thing. Look what happened. They managed to survive the most horrible genocide that we had in the last 300, 400, 500 years, and they moved all the way to Israel to start afresh. They actually founded a brand new city in Israel called Eilat on the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And they lost their son in the 1967 war of attrition in October, and they pay the ultimate price. But here we are, and now I'm the second generation, and I was born in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. God did so many things, amazing things, to bring us back here. And now he's protecting us. Mm-hmm. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, the years when Israel didn't know if we will even make it tomorrow, those years of 1948 and 1956 and 1967, they're gone. Israel is no longer a country that can be wiped out within a day. Our enemies are afraid of us.
Did you hear that, folks? Israel's enemies are afraid of her. And we're carrying Amir's brand new book. It's in my online store, olivetreeviews.org. It's titled Israel and the Church. An Israeli examines God's unfolding plans for his two chosen peoples. Because God has a unique plan for the church. We're in the church age right now. Everything surrounds the church, but that is coming to a close. We don't know when. Amir and I believe it's soon, very, very soon, perhaps today, and then it becomes the times of the Jews. And that's some of the issues that we're talking about for this hour. Amir, I want to go back, and that was a fascinating clip of you. Now your enemies are afraid of you, that being Israel. But you recently, and I'm staying in the genre here of things that are happening and exploding, sometimes literally, in the Middle East. You talked about online very recently about a last jihad. I know what you mean, but tell my audience what you meant.
Well, ever since Islam was born, one of the main things that Muslims are ordered to do in order to spread Islam is a jihad. Jihad is a holy war. Now, not every jihad, Jan, is a real war. There is the jihad of the sword. There is the jihad of the word. There is the jihad of the diplomatics. There is many ways for jihad. Jihad is a holy war, and the war can be waged in different ways. And I believe that the culmination of the attempt to bring about domination of Islam in this world and submit all others under Islam, the culmination of it will be, I believe, the Ezekiel war, where
yes,
you have the leader of the Shiites, the one that wants to lead the Sunnis, and I'm talking about Iran and Turkey, as well as some of their proxies in Libya and Sudan. And it's all led by someone who cares not about religion, but about spoils of war. Russia. The point is that that will be the culmination, and then when God will eventually intervene and destroy all of those enemies, that's it. From that point on, the world will be subjected completely only to the rise of the one world religion, which is a religion that is not trying to spread itself by the sword, but actually in peaceful ways, actually by deception, by sweet words, and that is exactly what we see already happening with the Catholic Church nowadays, and that's most of the content of my message, The Rise of the One World Religion.
That's right, which is excellent, so, and you've updated that. You did one back in 2015, and you just updated it, and folks, if you really want to understand the coming One World Religion, you need to access this either on YouTube. You can find it easily by finding Behold Israel on YouTube. Perhaps are you offering that as a DVD at some point, Amir?
Yeah, we're working on it right now to produce it as a DVD, so it will be ready in the coming days or so.
Folks, Olive Tree may carry that as well. We'll see.
Yeah.
But we are carrying his new book. I think what I hear you saying, Amir, is there's coming a last jihad because God, correct me if I'm wrong, God is going to deal with Islam. He's certainly going to deal with Islam in the Gog-Magog War, Ezekiel 38:39, and we do not know the timing. It could be tomorrow. It could be perhaps during the tribulation. We don't know. But God is going to finish off Islam. Am I right?
Radical Islam will be completely eradicated, and the moderate, what we call nominal Muslims, are going to obviously be welcome to a do good, be good, feel good religion that will not require them even to accept any Jesus or even not marry or anything. It will just require them to obey a newer leader and to accept his authority and worship him. It will be a religion that will encourage people to worship a person. And it's very interesting because we can already see that. I don't think we're on our way to that last jihad. I think that we are in the last jihad. It's just that it will come to an end. It'll culminate and come to an abrupt end during the Ezekiel war. But I think that if President Trump told the jihadists that they have a business with a very strong president that will not tolerate them, we've got a new administration that is actually enabling them, because part of the administration is the political party that is enabling that type of thing. The squad are jihadists, believe it or not.
Yes, the squad are jihadists. That's very put.
And it has to be very clear. When I say jihadist, I don't necessarily say a terrorist with an explosive belt. It can be Rashida Tlaib or it can be Ilhan Omar by ways of how they speak, encouraging anti-Semitism, encouraging illegitimizing Israel, and claiming that the Arabs, for religious purposes, not for anything else. You see, up until now, everybody were talking about national rights for Palestinians, nationality, state, capital, parliament. Came Hamas and said, that's not it. We're not it. We talk about Al-Aqsa. We talk about Islam. We talk about religion. You can call your country whatever you want. As long as Islam dominates it, that's what matters. And now, in a way, that's what carried after him all the people across the world and within Israel, the Israeli Arabs. Because the common thing is the religious thing.
I'm going to play one more clip here in this segment because it complements what we're saying, is Dr. David Jeremiah.
God has made of Abraham a great blessing. And then he said, I'm going to bless those, Abraham, that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. It hasn't fared well for those who have taken Israel on as an enemy. Almighty God has miraculously preserved them, even in spite of all of their suffering. And as a nation in that land, for 2,500 years, there was no evidence that that could happen. Then through a series of amazing events in 1948, the nation of Israel came to be. And the significance of Israel's reemergence in her ancient homeland is critical to us, because in order for all of the other end time prophecies to happen, Israel has to be at home in her own land. And so now the beginning of the regathering of the nation of Israel has happened. Israel today is Exhibit A in the lineup of convincing evidences that the Bible prophecies concerning the future are going to be fulfilled. Here, after all these years, is this little nation confounding everyone with their military ability and their commitment to survival.
Amir, I'm going to speak for my concern about America right now. And that little clip by Dr. David Jeremiah, and he opened it expressing the concern about Genesis 12:3, God blesses those who bless the nation of Israel, curses those who curse her. We have an administration right now. Well, I'm going to say we've got members of the party on the left cursing Israel every minute of the day. You just referenced the squad, so that's them, but there's a whole lot more. And I am so concerned for my country right now, Amir, because I'm afraid that almost everyone on the left is doing exactly that, turning their back on God's land.
Yeah, and that is a very good reason to be concerned for you. But I will tell you this, I'm still convinced that Israel is still the best ally that America has in the Middle East. And I do believe that if America is not going to stand and actively help Israel, at least America will not turn its weapon against Israel. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what we see described in Ezekiel. We can see that the European/Americans will criticize. They will criticize and protest the invasion, but they will not actively help. Let's make it very clear. If the 45th president, Donald Trump, was in power, you and I know that if Israel would have been attacked, which it wouldn't, because everybody would be afraid to do so. But if Israel would be attacked, America will come to help Israel within a few hours, okay? But we've got a different administration that is not going to run and help us actively. And I think what we're watching is, in the past 4 years, America's administration was a Ruth. In the current, it's a Orpah. In the past, it identified with Israel, with its God, with its nation, with everything. And this one is kissing from afar. That's what it is.
Talking to Amir Sarfati, learn much more at beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org. Not only are we carrying his new book, Israel and the Church, and Israeli Examines God's Unfolding Plans for His Chosen Peoples, it has a workbook. So many of you write and say, Got a small group? You tell me your church won't talk about any of this, so you'd like to start a small group, a Bible study, etc. And do we have any materials? We do. We've got several books with workbooks, and this is the newest and I think one of the best. So you can check out the book and the workbook in my online store, or give my office a call, or sign up for our e-newsletter, print magazine, where we promote these products. Again, the store is online at olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint. When I come back, I want to talk a little bit about one of my most unfavorite topics, but one that you folks need to understand. And that is the fact that there are some Christians, and they even call themselves evangelical Christians, and yet they obviously hate the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And folks, we got to deal with it because they have millions of followers. What do you do with individual leaders who have millions of followers who are not only cursing Israel, but then what kind of a fallout does that bring on a denomination, a country, a ministry that thinks that way and promotes that kind of hatred? And we have to talk about it, and we will. As soon as I get back, don't go away. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We hope you're taking advantage of all that Olive Tree Ministries has to offer online and in print. Visit our online store with 24 cutting-edge products to help you become watchmen on the wall. Find that at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Why not sign up for our daily headlines that will be delivered to your inbox every morning? Our print and e-newsletter will keep you ahead of the news of the day as well. Sign up online or call our office Central Time. We will be joining Pastor Jack Hibbs at his Fall Prophecy Conference on September 11. Find that information on our conference page at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. This event will be live streamed on September 11. Speakers include Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Jan Markell, and Pastor Barry Stagner. Consult with Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California for all details. Don't unplug. Stay up to date with news and information that will make you a part of today's Watchman on the Wall.
Believing that God has a plan for Israel does not negate what God has for the church and vice versa. In other words, Israel and the church are God-chosen peoples. And when you start taking one for the other and taking one as it replaced the other, you don't hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. You don't. You just change the Bible.
That's right.
And that's important.
The church and Israel play two distinctly different roles today and in the future. The church is not destined for God's wrath, but a terrible time of Jacob's trouble is ahead for Israel. Yet out of that, they will be saved as a nation. Here is the balance of today's programming.
If God has cast off Israel, then Jesus has separated himself from Israel, and therefore he has changed and he's disqualified as God. But he has not cast off his people. He is still the Holy One of Israel. He is still going to lead Israel through or to salvation, as we see recorded in the prophets. And the fact is, if you believe in replacement theology, if you believe that the church has replaced Israel, then you are saying that Jesus no longer has an association with the Jews, and therefore the 70th week of Daniel has been nullified, and none of the prophecies concerning what the Lord is going to do with the Jews in the last days is any longer valid. Now, that means that there are useless portions of Scripture. And this Bible tells me that it is the infallible and inspired Word of God, and every Word of God and the entirety of the Word of God is truth. There are no omissions for our day. There are no amendments to the Word of God. That's where you say,
amen. And welcome back. I'm spending the hour with Israeli author, speaker, international teacher, Amir Sarafati, beholdisrael.org. Let me just say a real quick word here about some of our social media, because it's changed here in the last few months. Changed big time. We remain on Facebook for now, and we're on Gab, Rumble. We're off of Twitter. Please understand, we're off of Twitter. It is a godless pagan site we want nothing to do with. We remain on Instagram. We remain on YouTube when they're not censoring us, which is frequently. Big tech, we love to take advantage of big tech to get the gospel out, and it gets the gospel out. And by the way, if you'd like to, speaking of big tech, participate in online live presentations that Amir, Barry Stagner, and I have done now for about 6 months, Prophecy Roundtables Live, check out the information found at beholdisrael.org. We try to do that when possible about twice a month. Again, I'm carrying his new book, Israel and the Church, An Israeli Examines God's Unfolding Plans for His Chosen Peoples. And folks, the sad side to what we're talking about is the church is not totally on board. For 30 minutes, we've heard some astounding information from Amir about what God is doing in Israel. I believe Israel is now the 8th most powerful nation on the planet. Wrap your brain around that for a moment, folks. It's the size of New Jersey. And it's become a world superpower, militarily speaking as well. But parts of the church are signing not on to this, they're signing off to this. They want nothing to do with the things that we're talking about. Amir, you as an Israeli, tell me how you process that, what I just said, that parts of the church want nothing to do. As a matter of fact, there are parts of the church hearing what I'm saying right now and turning the radio or their electronic device off.
One of the things that caused me to start Behold Israel was exactly this one. As a young believer, as an Israeli, I couldn't believe that anyone in the church could be that blind to see what God had been doing, is doing, and will be doing with Israel. I mean, the sheer amount of scriptures that dealing with the past, present, and future of Israel left me only to believe that either they don't teach the Bible, or they take the Bible out of context, or they leave parts of the Bible out of their teaching because it doesn't fit their narrative. And I thought to myself, Israel is one of the most important components of understanding God's plan of salvation. That's why Behold Israel means look at Israel. When I heard this Olivet discourse and how Jesus stopped after describing world events and says, learn this parable from that fig tree, and we know what the fig tree stands for because it's not a fig tree, it is a parable. I realized that it's such an important thing that is putting together what's going to happen to the world with what's going to happen to the church, because these are the two parts of that Olivet Discourse, and that is right in between. If you don't understand what God is doing with Israel, you will never understand what's going to happen to this world, and you will never understand what God is planning for the church. And honestly, I'm like very concerned about the state of the church when it comes to Israel. I'm very concerned. Because when you suggest that the church has replaced Israel, which is already an error, it leads you to almost allow yourself to hate them. Because all of the demons starts rising.
That's right.
All the demons are getting permission by you to rise and to manifest themselves. And those demons are, it's all about kill, steal, and destroy. It's not about anything else. And then we become people that are hateful. And I'm not sure if this is what is going to be taken to heaven. People that hate other people. We cannot hate the blacks. We cannot hate the Asians. We cannot hate the Latinos. We cannot hate the Jews. If anything, our Savior is Jewish. God is the one who chose Israel and not us. And if anything, Jesus will come back to Jerusalem, not to Salt Lake City, and I don't get it. How in the world? And that's why I always tell people, an indication to me that the work of the Holy Spirit is evident in you is the supernatural love
yes,
that God gives
yes.
for Israel.
Amen. All right, we're going to hear from a couple of gentlemen here who have a supernatural hatred for what we're talking about. Amir, the first clip I'm going to play is broadcaster Hank Hanegraaff, who is going to say that God doesn't choose anybody based on our DNA or our birth mother. And then I'm going to play a quick clip. This will happen real fast, folks, so listen up. I'm going to play a clip of broadcaster Rick Wiles. Now, this one's going back to 2019 when they were trying to impeach President Trump, and Mr. Wiles came on air and said that all of this was a Jew coup. Now, did you just hear what Amir said? How is it possible for professing Christians to think and speak like these two gentlemen? Let's play these two clips back to back, and then I'll come back and make a comment or two.
A second major theological fault line underlying Christian Zionism is the notion that God has two distinct people. It arose with a 19th century disillusioned priest from the Church of England who joined with a separatist millenarian movement called the Plymouth Brethren. And he did it in 1831, about the same time that Darwin sailed off into evolutionary fame. Like Darwin, Darby was a trendsetter. He contended that God had two distinct people with two distinct plans and two distinct destinies. And only one of those people, the Jews, would suffer tribulation. The other, the church, would be removed from the world in a secret coming 7 years prior to the second coming of Christ. And that distinctive twist on Scripture, known as dispensational eschatology, is now the reigning eschatology in certainly the West. And though it is wildly popular, there is nothing biblically to commend it. Far from communicating a distinction between Israel and the church, the Scripture from beginning to end reveals that God has only ever had one chosen people. In fact, the precise terminology that is used to describe the children of Israel in the Old Testament is ascribed to the church in the New Testament. Peter calls them a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Ultimately, they are the one chosen people of God, not by virtue of their genealogical relationship to Abraham, but by virtue of their genuine relationship to the living stone rejected by God and chosen by men. May I say it plainly? God is not a racist. He does not choose you based on your birth mother. He chooses you based on your relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ.
That's the way the Jews work. They are deceivers. They plot. They lie. They do whatever they have to do to accomplish their political agenda. This impeach Trump movement is a Jew coup. And the American people better wake up to it really fast, because this thing is moving now towards a vote in the House and then a trial in the Senate. We could have a trial before Christmas. This country could be in civil war at Christmas time.
The real reason they won't say anything is because the real agenda is Israel.
Yes. Wow.
And they're not going to jeopardize their standing with the White House to get things done for Israel.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's the real reason.
Yes.
So they will look the other way about sin and keep their mouth shut. And so they're pushing the agenda because they have control of Washington. They have control of the Trump administration. Donald Trump is owned by the Jews. That's the truth.
And it's beyond removing Donald Trump. It's removing you and me. That's what's at the heart of it.
That's right.
You have been taken over by a Jewish cabal, a Bolshevik revolution, and I'm going to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ, you're next.
Okay, folks, I think those two clips made a point. That's why I played them. I don't mean to be offensive, but I can't imagine anything more offensive to a Jewish person than what we just aired here. First clip was Hank Hanegraaff, millions of followers. Second clip, Rick Wiles. I don't know how many followers, but too many. Amir, your thoughts on what you heard?
My book was written exactly for these two gentlemen.
Thank you.
They really need to read that. First of all, Hank Hanegraaff could have not been wronger, because throughout the entire Exodus, the people of Israel were not following God, yet he still wanted them. The last time I read my book, even when Balaam was about to curse the Jews, Israel was not really a God-following, God-fearing nation at the time. Remember their rebellious nature in the desert. And yet God did not allow Balaam to curse Israel. Mm-hmm. But my point is this. God himself said, I chose you not because of who you are, but because of my promise to your fathers. It is going back to the fathers. It is going back to DNA and to genealogy. Yes. Make no mistake, the Jews can never, ever be saved unless they believe in Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about it. But for that we know, Zechariah chapter 12 wrote, that when they see him whom they pierced, they will mourn and cry. That will be the repentance. And then Romans 11 was clearly indicating that all Israel will be saved. I don't understand these two gentlemen. Where are they? And the other guy is saying Donald Trump is owned by the Jews. Yeah. And then he says that the Jews, they want to replace him. So, excuse me, I'm not sure which one. I can only see one thing. On both cases, the Jews are to be blamed for it. But the last time I checked, neither the president of the United States now, the vice president, or the speaker of the House are Jews. None of them is Jewish.
One of the things that jumped out at me, Amir, and Amir Sarfati is my guest for the hour, beholdisrael.org. Mr. Hanegraaff said that the reigning theology in the West today is premillennial dispensationalism. Amir, I wish that were true, but I have to say the reigning theologies in the West today are amillennialism, kingdom now, dominionism, and a number of other theologies that are ragingly false. Latter rain, I could go down a whole list of theologies that preterism, which is what Mr. Hanegraaff is, a preterist. All prophecy happened in 70 AD. It's all over. We missed it. But he's saying dispensationalism, the reigning theology. Well, granted, Hal Lindsey wrote a wonderfully popular book, The Late Great Planet Earth and the Left Behind series, also very, very popular, but it's not the reigning theology in the Western Church, sadly.
Not only that, when I came to faith, I never heard of Darby. Why am I being blamed for buying something that a person wrote when I came to faith in what I believe through the scriptures only? The last time I checked, there is no secret gathering of the church.
Yes.
There is a wonderful gathering of the church to be taken according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Last time I checked, the rapture is super biblical. The last time I checked, Israel must go through the tribulation. It's super biblical. Look, all of these things are in my book, but I honestly am ashamed to say that because they're in the book.
Yes.
They're in the Bible. You don't have to buy my book in order to get these things. You have to read the Bible to understand this. And people like Hank Hanegraaff are playing with the minds of people because he knows they will not run and check it. He banks on them looking at him as Bible answer.
That's right.
And that's the thing. When you go to the scriptures, you see for yourself. If God is done with Israel, why would Paul go everywhere first to the synagogue? I'm asking you. If there is no more reason for God to even relate to Israel anymore, why would Paul go to the synagogues? Why would Paul say, I wish to be a curse from Christ for the sake of my nation? Why would he gather the Jewish leaders in his home arrest in Rome and say, it is for the hope of Israel that I am bound in chain? If he's the hope of Israel, then Israel has hope. God is not done with them.
If you're a reader of the Bible and you're reading Romans 9, 10, and 11, I'm not just sure, Mr. Wiles, what you do with Romans 9, 10, and 11, where Paul says he would rather be accursed than have the Jewish people be accursed because there's coming a glorious day for them. Part of that glorious day involves their salvation, and of course, national salvation happens at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. When we return with the Lord, and then we set up a millennial kingdom, a literal 1,000 years with the rule out of, Amir just said it, the rule isn't going to come out of Salt Lake City. It's not going to come out of Oslo, Norway. It's going to come out of Jerusalem. That's what's ahead. Amir talks about all of these things in his new book, Israel and the Church, where the role of the church and Israel is outlined for a latter day. And Amir, I was present at what's called Hope for the Holy Land. They may have disbanded that. Lynn Hybels was a part of that. A number of others were a part of that. I believe Mae Cannon at that time, she was a part of World Vision. I attended at Bethel College, where I graduated from, and Amir, I was absolutely blown away as I saw Various speakers, including Lynn Hybels, Sammy Awad, and others, get up there, and again, the propaganda that was spewed against God's covenant land. But here's the thing that I don't hear from these people, Amir, and what so troubles me is they never reference the terrorist activity on the part of the Palestinian activists and Palestinian leadership who are slaughtering Jews. And now the wall that Israel built some years ago has helped. But none of these speakers will reference, including Mr. Hanegraaff, who was speaking there at Christ in the Checkpoint, again, supposedly carried on by evangelical Christians, canceled here in 2021. I don't hear them talking about the inconvenient truth. That would be the terrorist activity on part of the Palestinians. Don't hear it.
Of course not, because if you say something wrong about the Palestinians and you take the side of Israel, you might, by accident, acknowledge the right of Israel to exist.
That's right.
And for them, look how anti-Semites they are. They don't think that Israel has the biblical right to be back in its land. They truly believe that it's an accident that the Jews have returned and that the Jews claim they have biblical deed of ownership over this land. When the Jewish people came back to this land, I suggest that they read Ezekiel chapter 37, because the Lord made it very clear that he's the one who brought them from that graveyard in Europe. And he said, I, the Lord, not only that I brought you out of that place, but I take you myself, and I will place you in your own land, not somebody else's land. And then he said, I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. It was an act of God to save the Jews, the remnant there from Europe, and to physically bring them back to their own land, the land that he gave them, and to then, after he restores them physically, he will also pour his spirit upon them and he will restore them spiritually. This type of thing is an enigma to people like Hanegraaff and Wiles, because in their mind, the Jews are cabal. Now, it's funny because if you judge a whole group of people by three or four families, then I can tell you what families that are known as Christians, they have many more representatives in the line of crime and genocide than the Jewish people. And would I say all Christians are murderers? All Christians are bloodthirsty? Of course not. So yes, I do understand that the Rothschild and the Rockefellers may be globalist and the Soros is an evil man. But that doesn't mean that all the Jews are like that. That doesn't mean that God has forgotten all about Israel. It means that there are few people that forgot about them being Jews and want to become God. Not to be under God, but play God. But they are not the only families that are doing that. There is at least 10 more families of non-Jews that are participating in. So how come we're not picking on them as, okay, then all Christians are like that? Of course not. You cannot do that. But once you do that, it exposes what you really think and what your heart is really all about.
Amir, I'm going to your book here for a moment because as our time winds down, I want to make a few comments here about the importance of, for instance, in your book, you do highlight the important role of the Jewish people in the last days. Let me just summarize, and I'm going to do it in seconds here, but we have the 144,000 witnesses the book of Revelation talks about. Folks, they aren't Baptists, they aren't Lutherans, they are Jews. 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. We have two witnesses, folks, they are Jews. When the Jews rejected Jesus, the assignment of being a light to the nations was given to who? The church. Thanks to the Jews, there will be a true evangelism explosion up ahead. It's going to be in the tribulation because what happens to the church? The church is missing in the tribulation. So the assignment of evangelism explosion is then turned over to the Jews. You can read all about this in Amir's new book. Then we read, and I just referenced it, Romans 9, 10, and 11. All Israel will be saved. Okay, you say, how's that possible, Jan? Because those who have survived the tribulation, we referenced it earlier, are going to see him whom they pierce and mourn for him and turn to him as a nation, those who have survived the tribulation, going to turn to him for salvation. Well, in a moment. Comment, Amir, because again, your book talks about the importance of understanding the separation of the importance of, first of all, the calling of the Jews. The Jews rejected Jesus. God turned his favor to the church for a season, not permanently.
Correct. And Jesus himself said, you will not see me, Jerusalem, yes, until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. He didn't say anything in Arabic. He didn't say anything in Latin. He said in Hebrew what the Jewish people must say in order to receive him when he comes back, not to India, not to New York City, and not to Europe. He's coming back to Jerusalem. And Jan, you and I know that if it wasn't for the Jewish people in Jerusalem right now fighting for Jerusalem, the jihadists would have turned it into a Muslim city. That's not the city Jesus is coming back to. He's coming back to his own. He's coming back to those who will look at him whom they pierced, the Bible says. Those are the Jewish people. He said that. The prophet said that. They are back. I mean, let's not argue with the fact. We're back. It's a miracle. Nobody can explain in natural terms the return of the Jews. There is no nation on planet Earth that ever survived 2,000 years of being gone from their land. It's important that we understand that. One of the most beautiful quotes that I've read was a quote of Charles Krauthammer.
Yes.
And he wrote, Israel is the only nation on earth that inhabits the same land, bears the same name, speaks the same language, and worships the same God that he did 3,000 years ago. You cannot refute that. And yes, they still don't know the Messiah. And yes, they still do their own religion. And God will deal with them. Unfortunately, I'm saying that it'll take 7 years of horrible tribulation for them to eventually quit that religion and turn to Christ.
It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. That's what the tribulation is called. And folks, the church is not Jacob, okay? Jacob represents only one thing, and that would be the Jewish people. Go ahead, Amir.
Exactly. You cannot argue with facts. You cannot argue with the word of God. You cannot argue with the actual words of Jesus himself to the people. Everything speaks volume of the need of the Jews to return back to their land. As you quoted from what I wrote, 144,000 are from the physical tribes of Israel. He names all of them. And then the two witnesses, which reminds us exactly what God did with both Moses and Elijah, these are unbelievable people that are in Jerusalem next to the temple preaching to the people of Israel. They're not Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or Roman Catholic. They're Jewish people.
Going to play one more clip, Amir, and it's of you and why this is so fascinating. And then, folks, we're running quickly out of time here, but this clip is so important because we have Amir speaking here about the founding of the nation of Israel by unbelievers.
Hi, I'm really excited to bring this Christ Revealed interview to you. Let's go ahead and jump in.
And it is so much about the land and God's promise, right?
Correct.
And Ben-Gurion, didn't he eventually went back out to the desert,
correct,
wanting to experience,
yes,
saying this is what the experience we're supposed,
yep,
to have here.
And he was holding on to the promises that,
yes,
God said that he will bring that desert back to life.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, I'm going there and I'll do that. You see, there's a whole generation of pioneers and they were non-believers.
Yeah.
But somehow God used that unbelievable generation, the greatest generation, I know you call that to your,
yeah,
veterans of World,
yes,
War II, to come and just fight the malaria, fight the terrorists and the Arab gangs all around before Israel was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, fight prejudice from all around the world and have the vision that what the Bible said regarding the future of Israel indeed will happen. You know, Mark Twain shows up in the middle of the 1800s, and all he can say about this land as a believer is, it's a barren wasteland.
Right.
Nothing grows here. I haven't even seen a single living soul in this country. And then look what we have now. We export fruits and vegetables. We grow more species of fruit and vegetables than any other country in the world.
Yeah.
If that's not the hand of God, what is it then?
Folks, I hope you heard the message in that little one-minute clip. Amir, I'm down to literally a minute, but I want you to sum up any way you want to. It's all yours.
All I say is that believing that God has a plan for Israel does not negate what God has for the church and vice versa. In other words, Israel and the church are God-chosen peoples. And when you start taking one for the other and taking one as you replace the other, you don't hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You just change the Bible.
That's right.
And that's important.
So true. Folks, if you want to better understand this again, we're carrying not only the book, but a workbook. So you can have a small group and read the book together and do a workbook together, Israel and the church. and Israeli examines God's unfolding plans for his chosen peoples. I can't read, I say that often, I can't read every book cover to cover, but I did this one, and I do recommend it. Get acquainted with the mirror at beholdisrael.org. Sign up for his e-newsletter, which will come, I think, twice a week. I get notices and information. Watch him on YouTube under Behold Israel. Amir, thank you for all you do. I wish I could spend 10 minutes here thanking you for all you do. I can only spend 10 seconds thanking you.
No, thank you, Jan, for what you do. And thank you for being a Deborah of our time to spread the truth in a very hostile environment. Thank you.
It is true. Let me go out of the program. I say this frequently. It's so appropriate. When the time was right, the sea parted. The walls fell down. The sun stood still. The waves were calm. The stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. And his plan for you is good. And look, I get emails from you every day that you're hurting. Would you please remember this as we go out of this program? His plan for you is not only good, his plan for you is perfect. And I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so just remember that our programming is posted to our website in both its audio and video format. Just go to olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, and then to radio. We welcome friendly feedback at olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Our parting wish is always that you know that God is in control of the smallest detail of your life, and that everything is falling into place.